God, to bless your word to our hearts. Lord, it's why we're here, to worship you in song and in giving, and now our attention. Lord, it is with expectant hearts that we want to be changed. And Father, we pray that in this church, we would not be a Sunday church. God, that we would not be a show church, that we not play church. Lord, you love the church, and that title is your people who've come to worship you. That is the church. It's not a building. We thank you for this building, but it's not a building. It's the living, breathing people that are here now. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name that you change our lives and your word. And we pray it now. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're looking at a message that's entitled, When God Shows Off. When God shows off. And you might be thinking, when God shows off, maybe it's in an awesome electrical storm. I think God does show off in electrical storms. I think they're awesome. I think they're incredible. Maybe God shows off when there's an earthquake. I don't know. Sure makes you feel tiny, though, doesn't it? Maybe God shows off when you go out at night. And I live in an area where it's really nice black sky at night. You look up and the stars are so great. Maybe it's the heavens that, as the Bible says, declare the glory of God. Maybe that's how God shows off. I guess he could show off any way he would want to show off. He's God. He can do anything he wants. And he could use anything he wants. The amazing thing to me is that God uses his children to show off. And I mean that in a good way. I'm not talking about strutting around in pride and arrogance. I'm talking about God showing off. God who is perfect. God who is holy. God who is altogether precious and incredible. When you read his book, you find out God loves me. God's for me. God wants to be in my life. When I read about that and find out about my God, the God of the Bible, and that he wants to take his children and show them off, parade them, as it were, before the world for a reason, it makes me think how much I realize in my own life how God is regarding us. What I mean by that is when your kids are growing up, those of us who have had kids or we have them now, you know, if you've got young kids, when they're playing sports, for example, you being the parent on the side, there's times when you're tempted just to run out there on the field and help your kid out. The coaches are trained to watch for people like you. You see your kid out there, or when they cross the end zone, or when they score that point, you go crazy. I think that's an awesome thing. There's something about a parent when their child is singing in the school choir at Christmas. Their heart just wells up. That's a great thing. If we're like that toward our kids, is not God like that toward us? When we walk with him and listen to him and we step out in an effort to bring glory to him. Listen, I know that's true. Because the Bible says that when one sinner comes to Christ and they're forgiven of their sins, what do the angels do? Anybody? They rejoice. If angels have a party every time someone comes to Jesus, then how much more does God get so excited when you and I find out that he wants to use us in this world? I think God, if I might be able to put it this way, I think God smiles from heaven above and looks down and says, you know what? There goes my daughter. There goes my son. And I think all around the world, you know, I love this. I love that there's 24-hour time zones around the world. And I love that even if someone is just praying on a Tuesday, thanking God for their dinner, you realize that if they're thanking God for their dinner on a Tuesday and there's 24-hour time zones around the world, someone's eating somewhere all the time. And if they just bow their head and say, thank you, God, it's got to give Satan a bad day. I don't think Satan ever has a good day, ever. As long as God's children are on this planet praying. As long as they're loving on the Lord and finding out more about their lives. Jesus, in the lesson this morning, wants us to find out more about what he wants in our lives. He wants us to learn more about what God would have us experience in this life. And so keep this in mind. He's going to be talking to us about our lives being light and how that might affect the world around us. And so as we look to our study this morning, keep this in mind. We're in chapter 8, and we're verses 16 to 18, just a small little portion of scripture that's very powerful to us. Jesus said, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. But he sits it in a lampstand, and those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So when we consider God showing off in the lives of his children, in the life of the believer, we realize this in verse 16, is that it's God who turns on the light in the illumination of the gospel through our lives. God throws the switch. God turns on the light. In our lives this morning as Christians, you are either here today because you're curious about Christianity. You're here today because maybe you have a argumentative spirit and you want to kind of argue and debate. And that's great too. Maybe you're here this morning because some friends have brought you here. You have no intention of even listening. I understand that. Maybe you're a believer this morning, or maybe you're trying to find out if you're a believer and you want to hear what God has to say. But listen to the words of Jesus. What he's saying to us, in a sense, is that God in the person's life throws the switch. It is the Lord who wants your life radically different. And he goes about doing that in this thing of conversion. It's an amazing thing. Conversion. That is, we were once a certain kind of person. We're living for ourselves with our own thoughts occupying our head. Our own demands, our own passions occupying our energy. We lived and we did what we wanted to do. And if we were doing anything for somebody else, it was because if we did it for them, it would somehow translate into bettering ourselves. Since then, we've been converted. That is, we've come to Christ and we have found out that our lives are truly, truly fulfilled, living them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading the Bible, understanding what God says and what God would have for us. And we find out all of a sudden that we have a direction and we have a path in our lives. And in that sense, God turns on the lights and gives us a brand new life. And what happens when that happens? This, in that light rejects the darkness. We begin to see that in our lives. It says in verse 16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. So the first thing we see here is that when the lights are turned on, light will reject the darkness. And this word lamp right here that Jesus used, the Greek language is beautiful. The word means a very small, portable, common lamp. These little lamps, by the way, are so common that you can buy them. They're thousands of years old. You can buy them in Israel. You think, well, aren't they like a piece of antiquity and very expensive? Nope. There are so many of them unearthed all the time. By the way, in the ancient world, from Rome to Baghdad, literally, they're unearthed and they were so small. They're so common. They're made out of clay. They're very, very, very simple. They have a little wick that hangs out of them. You'd light that wick and you would walk over. Fits perfectly in the palm of your hand. You'd walk over and put it up on a shelf or on a lampstand. And it would be the light that would allow you to get that room going. Meaning this, that little light provided enough in that dark room for you to get other things going. Maybe other lights. Maybe to light the oven or the fireplace. And it is the light that removes the darkness and gives you opportunity to bring forth more light. Do you have that in your mind? Today we don't use that. We would use a flashlight, wouldn't we? We would walk into a room. Maybe we had a power outage. We'd walk into the room with a flashlight. The room is black. The flashlight is only for a purpose to illuminate enough of the room to get me started. You see? I have the flashlight. I go to the power box there. I switch it and then the power's on. That's the light that Jesus is speaking about. He's saying, listen, my children, my followers, they're like little lights. They start out little. But with that little light, great darkness is displaced. Darkness is an amazing thing. In a laboratory, you can measure darkness. If you go to the Oregon caves up in Oregon, you can go to those caves. And after they take you into the cave for so long, the park ranger pulls out a photometer. And a photometer measures the volume or the amount of light in a room. And 0.0 is dark. 0.0 is a darkness that can be felt. In fact, a 0.0 light can make you go insane. People have been known to hyperventilate, pass out in a room that is huge with nobody choking them because it's, as Exodus says, it was a darkness that could be felt. Darkness can get so dark that it feels like it's choking you. You go into that Oregon cave and that park ranger turns off the lights. And he holds out a photometer and he's talking to you. And you think for a moment there's somebody right in front of your face. You start to feel it and you start backing up. There's been people who've been lost in the Oregon caves and have gone insane in 3 days because of the depth or strength of the darkness. But in that darkness, that ranger struck a match and held it up, and there were about 50 of us in that cavern. And when he struck a match, that match looked like a torch in such great darkness. That's the life of the Christian. Where you go, love goes. Where you go, grace goes. Where you go, peace goes. When you come into a room, listen, it could be a room at work. It could be maybe somewhere around town. They may not like what you believe, but when you come in, they know this. We don't have to worry about him. He's not going to rob us. We don't like his doctrine. We don't like his love for God, but you know what? He's honest. They may not like what you and I believe and stand for. But it's funny how even an unbelieving boss might hand you the keys to the office because he knows. He can't explain it, but he knows that there's something very light about you, if I can put it that way. Wherever you and I go, there's the example of Christ. And it's a very powerful thing. And so we see the fact that light rejects the darkness. Jesus says, no one takes a lamp, that little lamp, no one lights it and puts it underneath a basket. Nobody puts it underneath a bed. And, you know, we could just move on right from there and go to the next thing that Jesus says, and we'll miss a very key thing. The reason why, when Jesus used this word vessel or bed, you ought to mark this in your Bibles. It's very, very current. You know, Jesus is always current. He's never out of touch. When he used the word vessel or basket or bushel, Jesus was implying something very, very powerful for us today. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it underneath a bushel to extinguish it. That's true. But no one lights a lamp, or no one is a lamp, and goes out of the fellowship, out into the world where they work, and extinguish their light that way either. That's what it means. The vessel or the bucket, the basket, in many things in antiquity that have been unearthed, in storefronts. I know for those of us who have been in Beth Shean, when you go down the Agora, the main street of that ancient marketplace where King Saul once was at, there in front of the stores, they had what we call the shingle. If you're going to go start your job, it's an old term, a shingle. What's your shingle? Today we call it logo. Oh, I'm going to be a butcher. The logo or the shingle would hang outside and on the entryway of that marketplace, and it would depict what you do. And it would be often displayed in a bucket or a vessel of bread meant you were a baker. A vessel of fish sticking out meant that you dealt in fish, or you're a fisherman, a fish market. If you had fabric coming out of the vessel, it was that you were one who worked in tapestries or dyes and fabrics. You've seen this before. We've seen it on tables where they have a vessel with things coming out of it, making the announcement. Jesus is saying that you don't become a Christian and go out into the world. You are like a little candle, but don't make fun of that little candle. That little candle can really, really be bright in a dark world. And when you go back to work on Monday, when you go back to university on Monday, when you go back to the neighborhood today, you are like that little light going into a very dark world, shining huge amounts of light, dispelling the darkness. You don't stop. You don't go to your place of commerce, maybe being a fisherman or maybe being a baker. You don't leave your Christianity at home and go to the office and live altogether different. Jesus is saying that your commerce should not extinguish your witness. So the vessel, the basket, should not, cannot extinguish the light. And then the bed. This is a bed, more of a couch. A couch for rest, leisure, relaxation. It was about 8 inches off the ground, had 4 feet, and you reclined on it. It's not necessarily something you slept in. It's what you reclined or rested in when friends were over. Jesus is saying when you take a break, you don't leave Christianity out. And all of us who attend this church, you know that well enough. That Jesus Christ is 24/7, 365. When we go on vacations, we don't take our bed of leisure and leave our Bible home. We love God's Word. That's how we're light. That's how that little bit of light has such a great power. When you go to on your times of leisure, look, I've traveled with many of you. Some of us have been on vacations together. We get everything ready. Either we're going to be taking a trip by car, or we're going to be taking a trip by plane. We all say it. Okay, you got everything packed? Everything packed? Where's your Bibles? You got your Bible? I got my Bible. You got your Bible? All right, let's go. And then you get in the car and go. That's how we live. It's not a Sunday Christianity. Jesus is saying that this light that you have, it's an everyday thing. Why? Because there's darkness all the time everywhere. And we take it to our place of commerce. Now watch this. You ask the question, where would Jesus go? If Jesus were here right now, where would he go? I want to know, because if we're going to follow him, that's where we're going. Do you know where he would go? He'd go to work with us. He would go to leisure with us. He would go down the street. He'd go to the market with us. You say, are you sure Jesus would go to work with us? There's people who cuss at my job, Jack. They cuss like they're contractors. They're cussers. Hey, you don't have to be a contractor to cuss. I used to work at a company. You had to sign a statement. This is a non-Christian company. They had like 60,000 employees. We had to sign a statement. I will not cuss on company time. I'm dead serious. Why? Because they prided themselves in education. They said in that statement that cursing is a display of ignorance. Lack of vocabulary. Wow, okay. You sign here and it's a what's called a fiduciary agreement. You willfully agree with this. It's not binding by law. It's a moral thing. You say, well, I wish I lived in a place like that. Oh, let me tell you something. The moment lunchtime came, those people cussed. Are we on lunch now? We're on lunch? Well, you know, beep and beep and beep. And what do you do with that as a Christian? Oh, my virgin ears. I cannot. Oh, you're killing me. Stop. No. Your Christianity is tougher than that. When somebody says, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, you pray too? I'm a Christian. Wow. Oh, you were what? Oh, you're not? Oh, I thought you were praying. I'm sorry. Come on. Jesus would go where you work. He's in heaven right now. Jesus goes with you when you go to work. When you go to the office, when you go to the hospital, when you go to school, you're that light going into the class. Well, Jack, I'm just a little tiny light. Yes, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what he'll do. And even when you go on your time of leisure, you're going to go water skiing, snowboarding, surfing. What are you going to do? Take Jesus with you. He's already with you. Take him. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that he, the Lord, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Isn't that awesome? You and I once lived in darkness. We lived for ourselves, did our own thing. Jesus brought us out by the gospel, set us free. And that's a great thing. Secondly, we realize this. He turns on the light because light shows the way. We all know this. Light shows the way. He says that this man sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. That means people are going to be coming into this room. And Jesus said that someone who is showing the light, someone who is my child, who is of the light, they're put in such a place on a lampstand so that it gives light to the entire room. Why? Others will see it. He wants to put us, as it were, lights on display. And in that sense, he wants to show us off. Announcing the kingdom just by the way we live. Listen, when you put a light in the room, you ever decorate a room? One of the things you eventually get to is, where are we going to put that light? Well, you put it in a place that it's, first of all, convenient for people to access it. How convenient should the Christian be with the message of the gospel to the world? Very available, don't you think? That's why he sends us everywhere in the world. God's people are everywhere. Secondly, he puts us in places that are not only convenient, but places that will dispel the darkness. That's why you work where you work. I'm going to quit my job because those people just won't come to the Lord. You can't do that. You stay there. That company I told you about, 13 years. I was a Christian at that company. They knew it. Some people had come to the Lord there. But the guy that I wanted to come, the trophy guy that I wanted to come to the Lord there, my boss, is the guy that interviewed me when I first got the job. I wanted him to come to Jesus. And I witnessed 13 years to that guy. And sometimes I didn't say a word to him. It's just what I decided to do. I wanted to go home, but Jesus said, go the extra mile. So, okay, I'll stay. Think of me, Lord, save him. I worked there 13 years, resigned from that job to take this church full time. And yet he didn't come to the Lord. And I thought, you know what? That's the pits. That's a bummer. It wasn't until later on that he called me up and he said, hey, you know what? I know it's been some years since I even talked to you, and I just want to let you know that I wound up moving away and wound up hearing the gospel, and I came to know Jesus Christ, and I want to thank you for those 13 years. And it's like, what? And many of us, we live with family, or we have family that visit us, or they know us. Yeah, I'm not going to go to Christmas. I'm not going to go to Easter. I'm not going to go to that party, to that birthday. They're godless people. Listen, you got to love them. You got to take that little light of yours, man. And you just got to be there. Because if you don't go out after them and reach them, who's going to reach them? And here's the thing. Jesus said that a prophet has honor everywhere he goes except in his own home. You know why? You'll tell people about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. He changed my life. Oh, we know you. I remember when you were 8 years old and you burned the cat. Remember that? Don't you talk to me about Jesus. You threw a window through my front house there. I mean, you threw a rock through the window of my house. You threw a window at me. And don't you talk to me about Jesus. But listen, you stay at it. You think you're going to go quit your job or run around and find the perfect place where all these Christians work? Listen, I work at a church. And we're all Christians. Okay? But Satan's real. Don't think Satan's waiting out there at that gate. I think he pulls up in the morning, gets right out. He's on time. We are to shine. And we are to be bright for him. He shows us the way. He shows us the way. And that's what's so important about the believer's life. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is yet day, because night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's how Jesus wants us to think. Wherever we go, I'm going to take that little light of mine and shine it to the glory of God. Another thing is this. He turns on the light because light affects the attitude. Light affects the atmosphere and the attitude. Wherever you go, and maybe you're the only one in your home. I read a letter this week from someone who attends this church. They're the only believer in their house, and everyone's against them. That woman takes a mockery from her husband and from her kids. The father's got the kids against her. And she comes here at a great expense. Ridicule and mockery. And they watch her like a hawk. She shows a little bit of temper. She shows a little bit of worry. And they're right on her. Oh, where's your Jesus now? Your car got a flat. Where's your Jesus now? That's tough. But you know what? She's being light. And her presence affects the attitude of that home. And the same is true about all of us. He says that those who enter in may see the light. What a wonderful, wonderful power that is. Are you and I light enough to be changing the environment that you and I walk into? Wherever you and I go, Jesus would have us. He wants to. He's in us. He wants the atmosphere of where you and I go to be changed. I highly recommend to you Voices of the Martyrs. It's a magazine, vom.org. You got to get it. There's an article where, in fact, you guys can just keep that up, if you would. Not this particular couple, but there's a woman there in India. In northern India, a Muslim family. And she became a Christian. And they found her Bible. Her husband found her Bible. And he went to the cupboard and he got out kerosene and poured it on her. And went to light her on fire for becoming an infidel. And he couldn't find a match. So he told her to wait there and he went next door. And someone came and saw what was going on and they removed her from there. When he came back, he couldn't find her. She eventually made it to the people of Voices of the Martyrs. And she was given shelter. And she's a Christian now. And all because her life began to change. They noticed, that home noticed that mom was changing for the better, and they couldn't figure out why. You can read about it at Voice of the Martyr. This man right here, isn't he a sweet-looking guy? He's a colonel in the Iranian army. And he's featured in this article of this, I think it's this month that I have in my hand. I didn't even bother to look. December, last month. This guy became a Christian. And they noticed the change in his life. And he couldn't, listen, he didn't preach to anybody. They just noticed the change in his life. And they began to ask questions. What's with you? You're different. You know what? That which was secret had to be let out. He didn't say it. It just came out of him. Love, peace, self-control, gentleness, kindness. He was arrested. He was tried in a military tribunal last year. And he was found guilty of being a Christian in Iran. The evidence was overwhelming. People testified and they said, yep, he's a stinking Christian. He's forgiving, he's kind, he prays, he's peaceful. He's a threat to this nation. They put him in prison. They gave him a sentence, they put him in prison. Voices of the Martyrs began to take care of his family. By the way, they do covert secret activity all around the world. Then the prisoners started getting converted in the prison. They said, what are you doing? Telling people about Jesus. Shut up about Jesus. You talk about Jesus, we're going to kill you. If you kill me, you just send me to heaven. So, whatever you want to do. Well, then we're not going to kill you. Just shut up. So others started coming to Christ. You know what they did? They said, get out. Get out of this prison. Go, get. Listen, what would you do? What would you do if the people who put you in there said, go. What would you do? No, he stayed. He said, oh, no. I demand my rights. They said, you demand your rights. You have no rights. You're a prisoner. You got to stay here or you go. We tell you what to do. He said, no. Listen, and before a jury of my peers, I was convicted by a military tribunal and I've been given this many years in prison. I've gone through this much time. I got 14 months left. I demand I stay in prison. You got to keep me here. The sentence has got to be lived out. They said, all right, get back in there. They put him back in prison. He preached the gospel. He did his time. They got him out. And they said, if you ever talk to people about Jesus again, we'll hang you. Well, you know, I told you guys before, you hang me, you send me to Jesus. Well, we'll do something to you. What was inside him secret came out. The little light in a dark place goes a great way. That's your life. Oh, Jack, you don't mean me. I mean exactly you. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. If you believe that he rose again from the dead. Do you believe that you have said, Jesus, save me from my sins. I have nothing to give you. I have no righteousness. I have no money. I have no power. I have nothing. I give you me. That's all I got. I give you me. Jesus, save me. If your hand is still up, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you that day, never to leave you or forsake you. And from that moment on, He will burn His gospel message out of your life, and it may be by what you say, mostly it's by what you do, and people will take notice. They may not understand it. They're going to call you weird. You can put your hand down, you're great. They're going to call you weird. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to attack you. They're going to see if you're real. But the real stuff in you and I is the Lord Jesus coming out of us. And that's how it works. In Colossians 4:3, Paul says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us the door of His word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which we have been imprisoned. Colossians 1:26, that the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed through His saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery of the Gentiles, which is this: Christ Jesus in you, your hope of glory. That word is your assurance of glory. Wow. Wonderful. Excellent. When God shows off, He illuminates everything, verse 17 teaches us. For nothing is secret. Think about that, Colonel. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed. The gospel's got to come out. It'll come out. For anything hidden that will not be known and come to light, it's going to be exposed. The first thing that we realize here in verse 17 is that when He illuminates everything, He reveals His perfect knowledge. What do we mean by that? His perfect knowledge. This is what we need to know about what God knows regarding this message. Is that His knowledge revealed is that the secret of the gospel is an amazing word. It's not, watch, it's not secret. I'm a Christian. Shh, don't tell anybody. It's not that kind of secret. The word secret, word mystery, means something that has been revealed, that has been something that men would seek to understand, that people would grope about to find out. What is it? God announces, listen, was this secret? When baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was that a secret? Yeah, but He's born in Bethlehem, you know. I mean, who knew anything about Bethlehem? Only the prophets announced it. It was written in the Bible. Keep your eyes on Bethlehem. And if that isn't enough of a public announcement, then Jesus is born and the angels show up in the sky. Today, tonight, born in the city of David. Angels began to sing. How private is that? Wise men come from Baghdad, from ancient regions of Iraq today. Makes their way. We've seen the star. We followed it to come and worship Him. How private is that? Nothing private about it. God never intended the gospel to be secret. It's never something that you keep under wraps. It's nothing that you keep safe. No, it's designed to get out into the world. Isn't it awesome? Listen, what is the first book that was ever published or put out, I should say, on a printing press? The Bible. What was the first book put on audio? The Bible. What was the first book put on CD? The Bible. What was the first book preached to 3.3 billion, with a B, in 1988 by Billy Graham? Did he preach Better Homes and Gardens? Did he preach something else? The Bible, heard by more people. The Bible, every year since God allowed it to be so public, the Bible is the number one sold book every year around the world. That's so much so it's not even included in the New York Times bestselling list, because it's automatically number one every year. Whoever the New York Times bestseller book is, it's number two. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. It's always the Bible. Listen, you can smuggle Qurans into China all you want. You don't even have to smuggle them. You have to smuggle Bibles in, because the government views them as a threat. Why do you think the Chinese government views the Bible as a threat? Because it changes people's lives. The Bible. God's revealed intentions. Tell the world. Didn't Jesus say, go ye therefore into all the world? Can you go ye therefore into most of Europe, North America? Oh no, all the world. You guys, I was so blessed on Friday night. I met up with a man who's, they listen and video off of video podcasting to these services. They'll see this one today in Adelaide, Australia. They're 450 miles from their closest Calvary Chapel. And God is creating the Calvary Chapel there. And we met together. He met with Pastor Brian down at Calvary Costa Mesa. We're going to be very involved in the creation of that work. It's going to be very exciting. Why? Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world.
Well, what are you doing in our own neighborhood?
Feeding people, keeping their lights on and their heat on at times like this. You see, it's not only here, it is around the world. You do both at the same time. Why? Because the message is worthy of our effort. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. 1 John 1, 5, this message which we have heard from Him declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. How many of you are afraid of the dark? You ever seen what's in the dark? No, I won't go there right now. If you knew what was in the dark, you would want to leave the light on too. Have you noticed when you're a little kid, Mommy, Daddy, what? Leave the light on. Imaginations go crazy with a kid, right? And then you become a Christian and you find out it wasn't too far away from the bump in the night, you know. Hey, you know what? Isn't it awesome? No matter how dark it is, you walk with God. There's light all around you. Listen, we can be the biggest, baddest guy in this sanctuary, but you, when you know you're alone and evil is nearby and you're walking down that alley at night and it's pitch black, what do? You whistle. That's what you do. You always know when a man is scared. Daddy, what are you listening for? Just so happy. Fear. Fear. When Jesus is there, when you realize that God has called you to walk in His lightness, in His light, the Bible tells us that even with God, even where it's dark, there's light all about. What an awesome truth that is. He illuminates everything and that He exposes His plan to the world. He says, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to the light. He says there's things that when the Word of God goes out, and even in the life of a believer, when that believer goes out as that little lamp, and this is amazing. And listen, I want to encourage you regarding our patience. When we go out into the world and when we rub shoulders with the people that we know and work with and come in contact with, be patient, Christian, be patient. Because Jesus is telling us that wherever that little lamp goes, wherever you go, its effect will eventually begin to dispel darkness and whatever's hidden will be revealed. And this can be something as so direct and so clear where people supernaturally, like when Jonathan Edwards preached his message in early America, people who were not even in the church but driving down the street, not even hearing the message, supernaturally got off of their carriages and off their horses, fell on their faces and cried out to God for mercy because they felt convicted and they didn't even hear the message. To someone in our lives, maybe you walk up to and you say, hey, how you doing? And you befriend them. And something is exposed inside their heart and they share something with you and they say, you know what, I've never told anybody this, but I've struggled with this in my life and I think you can help me. How do you answer that? When people come into this church in droves during the week to week, from year to year, I need help. We say the same thing that the apostles say. We can't help you. Silver and gold we do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. We give them the Lord. He's amazing. Expose the plan that He has to the world. Things that are hidden. Things that are hidden can hurt very badly. Maybe there's things in your life that are hidden. You say, Jack, I really want Jesus and all the. But listen, there's this thing in my life that nobody knows. Listen, God knows. Yeah, that's the hang up. I mean, I can live under this horrific shame because it's just me. And I hate myself for what I did 20 years ago. I hate it. I'm afraid God does know. Hey, listen, my friend, God does know. And He wants to set you free from it, not strangle you with it. See, you've been hanging on to it, trying to bury it, trying to hide it, keep it just under the surface. And you and your conscience and in your heart, you keep running into it over and over again. You keep running into it. Nobody knows about it, but you know. And you know God knows. And you think he's trying to strangle you with it. God is saying, will you give it to me? I'll take it. Whatever that thing might be. Things hidden hurt. Jesus said that when the gospel goes out, it brings to the surface things that need to be done away with. That maybe it's just between you and he, but listen, he will take care of it. And God will remove it. There's nothing in this world. There's no stain remover that will remove it, but God only. His blood is that powerful. Things hidden. Have you noticed? You think about things hidden that can hurt. In my mind, you guys, about two or three families from this church, we were on a two-week vacation at Lake Powell. And we rented a houseboat, 55-foot houseboat. We had all these kids. We're all on this thing. It's nuts. I mean, it's fun nuts, crazy nuts. And my day to drive it. Cool. I mean, this thing was just a heap. I mean, it was huge. And so, you know, in the evening, you beach it on Lake Powell and you set up camp. And you, my brother had told me, he lives in Utah. He said, listen, storms hit there like insane with no warning. So when you get the houseboat up on the shore, bury the anchors, dig as far down as you can, then stick the anchor in the earth and bury the anchors. And I'm thinking, what a dope. Bury the anchors. Who buries anchors? It's where they're anchors. You throw them out and okay. I didn't have to worry about the anchor. Because, you know, we got all ready. And I kid you not, you guys, we have this on film. It was caught on tape. I made this little runway on the sand, drew it. I was joking around. I got in the dirt. I mean, I was out there. Okay, and I swam out to the boat. All right, watch this. And then I put that thing going. And it takes off. And we get about 30 yards from the shore. And instantly that boat stopped. And kids, food, refrigerators, everything just went flying. People on the shore laughing so hard. The wheel went right into my stomach and I bent the hull of that boat so bad. I can laugh now about it. And I'm telling you, you know how great God changes our lives? I literally said, what the heck was that? I didn't say H-E double hockey sticks. I've been saved. I knew it right then. Well, that's pretty Christian of me. It was the worst accident. I dove over, went underwater. 3 feet below the surface was this stupid pillar of granite stone or something rising up from the depths of the lake. And I hit the whole thing. The lake is like 2,000 miles of shoreline. I hit the only thing like that. Ripped the boat. It was horrible. Things hidden can hurt. People knocking on your door. Hi, we're from this group or that thing. And we want you to join. And listen, if you're a member of ours, you get membership. You have to earn that, but you'll get it. And then there's this secret handshake club thing, secret handshakes, you know. And you get to wear secret clothes, and we get to have secret things that we say in the secret places. Nobody could know about it. It's secret. It's really elite. You join our group, you have that stuff. And then they pedal away, and the next guy comes up, and he knocks on the door and says, hey, you know what? I saw those guys leave your house, but let me tell you the real deal. If you join our group, we'll get you in on this secret gathering, and you'll really know the way to God. Listen, isn't that funny? Jesus said, everything I've said to you, I've said publicly and openly. I've said nothing in a corner. I've shouted. When somebody says there's a secret, Jesus says, well, there is no secrets. Whatever secret's going to be exposed. The gospel's never hidden. There's no... Listen, if you're visiting for the first time, there's nothing secret. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through me. Right up front. You never have to wonder what Jesus is thinking. He says it. He says, if any man comes to me, I will never turn you away. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life. No secrets. Well, what's the fine print? No fine print. Beware of secrets, things hidden. They'll shipwreck you every time. So you got that, huh? That's good. He illuminates everything in that he announces his ultimate return. Verse 17, think of this. Verse 17, we just add this, that he announces his ultimate return. And that, I simply mean this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, the Bible tells us that concerning the times and the seasons of the Lord's return, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Don't raise your hand. Listen, don't raise your hand. Did you hear me? Do you think, based upon this verse, that if you're a Christian, the day of the Lord will come upon you as a thief in the night? You better know your Bible. The exact opposite's true. I thought he's coming as a thief in the night. He is for some people, not for me, not for you. The Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that that day will overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of lights, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, but let us, as others do, but let us watch and be sober, be alert. Isn't that awesome? If we walk in the light, if we are in the light, as Jesus is talking about being in the light, the return of the Lord will not surprise us. Then finally, we end here. Verse 18, when God shows off, he adds more of what we have. Now, this can be good and bad. He adds more to what we have. Now, watch this. When he adds more to what we have, the first thing I want to realize in verse 18, it says, therefore, take heed how you hear. The question is then, is how I'm hearing correct? See, what do you mean by that? Church, listen carefully. This might be a shocker to you. Every time you and I hear a sermon, memorize a verse, read our Bibles. Every time you and I are exposed to a little bit more light, you and I are now responsible for that light. Well, Pastor, that's why I'm never coming back. It doesn't matter. I just quoted three verses to you a moment ago. You're responsible for John 3:16. You can't get away from it now. Sorry. You say, oh, man. Now watch. If you're not listening right, you can say, oh, man, let's go listen to Greg Laurie on Monday. Oh, and then you know what? We'll get Pastor Chuck on Sunday night. And then let's go drive down and listen to Dr. David Jeremiah. Oh, and then we're going to go up to... Oh, and then we're going to come Wednesday night and listen to Britt Merrick. Last Wednesday night. And then Sunday morning, Chino Hills, we'll listen to... Wait a minute. Do you understand something? You're in a whole heap of trouble. Because if you're given light, the Lord is expecting you with what you have. He'll give more if the light is going to be shining out of you. If you take it in and do nothing with it, if you say, oh, that was a great sermon, or that was a great message, or boy, I laughed, or boy, I cried, and you walk away and 15 minutes later after you leave the building, you're not living what was announced. If I'm not living what was announced, we're responsible. We're not in a club. This is not some pep talk place. It's not motivational speaking. It's the Word of God. And Jesus says this, take heed therefore, watch out is the word, about how you hear. How, not what, how you hear. Interesting, huh? That's a grave warning. Also this, he adds more to what we have, and that verse 18 teaches us, is what I have a good thing? Is what I'm listening to a good thing? Are you judging, by the way, everything that's said that you hear on Christian radio and in this sanctuary? Are you judging it against the Bible? He says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. If you take in, listen, church, if you take in today's lesson and you write it down, but by the way, we should always take notes because we increase our retention by 15% if we take notes. I got to do this. And then you take today's notes and you put it on the dash of your car or on your mirror when you shave in the morning or when you, whatever you do, lady, in the morning. And you look at it and you eat it. You eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it until next Sunday. And then you move on to the next thing. But if we listen and become a forgetful hearer, then we become those who are hearers of the word and not doers. This is very critical. Oh, wasn't that pastor good? He was kind of off today. Oh, that was fine. Wait a minute. The pastor's not on display. The word of God is being given to our hearts. And we are being schooled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not how funny I might be or how serious I might be. Did I make you cry this week or did I make you laugh this week? It's not that. It's what am I doing with this message this week that matters. And then we end with this here. Is there anything keeping me back? He says in verse 18, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. What does that mean? It means that the Lord, look at this place. There's a lot of light. There's a lot of light, a lot of sin. A lot of light, a lot of darkness. That's Las Vegas. A lot of illumination, but no enlightenment, huh? There's a light of the world, and there's the light of the Lord. The world says, look! And Jesus has come to me. Is there anything keeping me back? Could I somehow take this truth? And is there anything not allowing me to do it? And that's a great test. And so as we end here, Christian, listen. It is God's will that we leave today in all that you need to do. This is how you do this. God is so good to us. He's so gentle. He's such a great parent. He says, okay, now you get ready to go. Here's what you do. All you have to remember is, I want to show off and I want to use you. What you've listened to and you've written down, ask Him, Lord, apply this in my life. Jesus, make this my reality. I want you, God, in this world to show off using me. I want to be your hands and feet today. Lord, don't let me hear this message and just be the same guy, the same girl I came in an hour ago as. Okay? That's what we do. This is why the scripture says those who teach the word of God in the end before the Lord will receive the greater judgment. Because God's going to say, well, Jack, you gave that message on showing off for my glory. Let's see what you did with that truth. Paul said that he prayed that the day would never come whereby he would be found out to be disqualified, having preached it and not lived it. Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would so change our lives. And Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning saying, I don't know what to do. I want my life changed. Listen, I'm both terrified and excited at the same time. I'm happy and sad. I'm sick and healthy. I'm freaking out and calm at the same time. I don't get it. But I know that this is true. This has just been no frills. But I know it's true. Maybe that's you this morning. You're saying, Lord, change my life. You come to Him today. Right where you're at, you say, Jesus, I want you. Forgive me of my sins. I'm in deep trouble. If I stood before you naked with your incredible eyes, dear God, you would know everything about me, my motives, my secret sins, my public sins, all that junk, you know it all. God, please forgive me. My friend, if that's you, you tell Him that right now. Christian, maybe this morning you're with me and you're saying, Lord, please, in these last days, don't let me talk the talk. Dear God, I want to walk the walk. Lord, whatever comes out of our mouths and lands in our ears from your holy word, please make that happen in my life. And Lord, today as we go, may we affect someone to the glory of God. May we show off our God, His love, His grace, His mercy. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, let's stand as we close in this song together.